So let us not, we are concerned with our country, but our main task is to deal with the program before us today on Valentine's Day, and that is the debt. It would be a great gift for South Africans who are vulnerable and who are facing this challenge if we could move ahead on Valentine's Day. It would mean more than a rose, a kiss, or a box of chocolates. Those things are very temporary. Right. So everyone is here. Thank you, and I'm sorry about all the changes in our program beyond our control. There are apologies. We would like to finish at 4:30. We would like to. Any comments on the closure then? This is just the opening.
Chair, we had thought that you were going to bring us a roses because you are the only partner we have.
That had been my intention, and you know, as I said, unfortunately, my day was changed quite dramatically, and consequently, but perhaps a rose next week, because I have a lot of roses in my garden. I can perhaps put them in the freezer or something and bring them in later. But the adoption of the agenda, as I say, I'm hoping that we can finish 4:30. And while I'm at it, Mr. Hermans, did you say there would still be transport?
If we finish at 4:30, members will have to use the buses.
Right. There we are. In other words, if we finish before 5, which is our intention.
Before 6.
All right. Is there anything that you need to tell me that's quite urgent?
No.
Now, he's giving us a technical response. Is there anything else you need to tell us about the program?
Chair, we have relooked the program, and I think before we can share, we have to have that. I have to stick with the Mancom committee before we can distribute the program to other members. And we didn't have a chance to meet to discuss the program.
No, thank you, Mr. Herman. So, Mr. Medima, can we have the proposal of the adoption of the agenda? Thanks, Honourable Williams, seconded by the Honourable Buyani. Apologies, Mr. Medima.
Ms. Coe and Ms. Van Skalkwyk, they are attending Labour Committee.
Who?
Ms. Teko and Ms. Van Skalkwyk.
They are. What about other members of the committee?
We receive no communication whatsoever. So.
Not even for the morning meeting, as it was?
No.
Right. So people will be marked absent if they have not furnished apologies. I did see your colleague, Honourable Kachalia. Is he still in the building or making a media statement? Right. Those are the apologies. We have a presentation by the Department of Trade and Industry, and allow me to recognise the Acting DDG CCRD, Mr. MacDonald Nyetsi-Tenzi, and the Acting Chief Director of CCRD, Mr. Kumkani Sipamanjla Kumkani, and then the National Consumer Tribunal, the National Tribunal, Ms. Lucky Rabotapi, Registrar, Mr. Bax, is it? Mr. Bax Nomvete, Chief Information Officer. And then the National Credit Regulator, that is the Chief Executive Officer, Ms. Nomsa Motshigare, the Company Secretary, Mr. Lesibi Mashapa, the Senior Legal Advisor, Ms. Tupang Ingabeni, in that order. And the staff here of Parliament, and my own staff, Advocate Van der Merwe, who's the senior advocate here in the drafting department, and also Mr. Medima. Right. It is not our intention to drag the meeting out, but of course not to clip it short either. So it is over to yourself. I understand DTI. You'll be working with the National Credit Regulator, and I think it'll be up to you as to how we process this. Thank you. I'm sorry. Apologies to all of you, who are not members of Parliament, for the change in programme at the 11th hour. Right.
No, thanks. Thanks, Chair, honourable members, my colleagues. I will go through the introduction and the last slides. I will stop. The chairperson of the tribunal will complete, and then I will do the conclusion. This is a sort of a summary of issues that were raised, and then at the same time is sort of a table of contents. There were various issues that were raised. We have agreed that is attached, and then some of the issues may not be so complete in the grid. However, we are saying we will explain ourselves later. We have a task team that will have to work very closely with the parliamentary legal advisor in the drafting part of it. But we have singled out the real issues, and then we want to express our view. There is the issue of constitutionality. I think it was raised by virtually everybody except the Department of Justice. The Department of Justice, if I'm not mistaken, they never raised the issue of constitutionality in the main in relation to issues of extinguishing the debt or sort of expropriating somebody's property. They didn't raise it per se, but maybe impliedly they did. But otherwise they are saying the bill, we need to be careful in this area and that area, so it can pass the constitutional muster. We also still maintain that we are here to guide Parliament, but we are not of the view that the departments that are advising Parliament should go one by one to their legal advisors. Legal opinions are legal opinions. That's why we have courts. We have to take a final decision. You can get 10 legal opinions, but as to whether they are right or not, it is for the court to for the court. My apologies. From the Sparta, yes. So all in all, I'm saying we can have as many legal opinions as we can have, but the courts will have to make that final decision. So I'm not saying we should go to court and fight in court. We suggested a solution that when it goes for signing, ultimately the president should refer it to the constitutional certification. If that process is correct, that's our advice. But the parliamentary legal advisor or drafter will also have you which way to follow. Number two is reporting suspected reckless lending. I will go into detail. Criminalization of prohibited conduct. Number four, NCR powers to suspend reckless loans. Number five, compulsory credit life
insurance, the last one, capacity of NCR and NCT to implement debt intervention. I'm talking to number one now, the issue of constitutionality. We are saying we are running a government in a cooperative manner. If we are to advise Parliament, let's have all the advices, but advise Parliament. If it is behind the scenes, let it be. But we want to advise Parliament without differing in public. Two, bullet number two, the executive arm should not be involved in getting legal opinions on legislative arm of legislation. This is a bill of Parliament, unlike if it is from the DTI or from another department. So circumscribed factors to be considered. These are the issues on the constitutionality part of it. And then we are saying there are also issues that are raised on the extinguishing of debts. We are saying, one, there are factors that need to be considered before we say we want to be involved in this matter, like whether a consumer has any chances of getting employment in the future. Let's say I'm 64 as a bureaucrat, as a civil servant, 64 years old. Next year I'm going on a pension and then I'm retrenched. For that 1 year or 6 months, do I have a prospect of being employed, as an example? Then if that is taken into account, and then, but I have paid 95% of my loan, 95%, and then I'm left with 5% or 1%. This is the issue that we need to consider. Why can't we extinguish that debt? It is done generally voluntarily. The banks are doing it voluntarily. If you remember the presentation by Standard Bank, they said, yeah, we do these things voluntarily. We forgive people, but we don't want things to be legislated. I think that's where we are differing. Yeah, we want to legislate, and then we are saying, if it can be done voluntarily, why can't we negotiate the act in a proper way to persuade to be a legislated environment? Because it is happening in any way. It is...
interrupt the presenter.
I'm just trying to understand, you know, where this actually fits in to the bill that we're talking about. I'm not sure what, you know, process or issue Mr. Nchitenze is speaking to, but this is actually not anywhere in the bill, and so I'm just trying to understand why he's going down this road.
You'll see here that this is their submission. You can interrogate them after they've made the submission. This is their submission, the DTI, the National Credit Regulator, and the National Consumer Tribunal on the National Credit Amendment Bill. If we disagree with it, we can engage them when they've made the presentation. All right. Thank you.
No, no. Thanks. I had already put things in context. I'm saying, people said the bill will be unconstitutional in relation to extinguishing the debt when the debt is extinguished. It's like expropriating somebody's property. And then I started to talk on bullet one and two, and on bullet three we said, in any way, you find that there is forgiveness that is done by the credit providers. If it is done voluntarily, as Standard Bank has said, why can't we encourage it in a legislative manner? We have turned a lot of guidelines that was being done in a sporadic way, and then now the affordability assessment, as an example, affordability assessment that are now legislated in order to have a uniform approach. I think that is our contribution. Another area where the issue of constitutionality is being raised, you find that there is a loan book that is not audited, whether some of the debts have prescribed. In other words, some of the debts are already dead because they are more than 3 years. No action has been taken. If it is audited, you may find that maybe 10% or 20% or 90% or 100% of them have already extinguished because they have prescribed. So therefore, this issue of just saying is unconstitutional, sometimes without analyzing things, it can lead us to a problem. And one of the factors is to say permanent disability, family circumstances, age of the consumer, voluntary writing offs. We have already said that writing off of a debt, it does not mean that the debt is dead. So the debt is not dead per se, because if you recuperate, you become a rich man or woman, in future, they can come after you. So that is writing off. But we have already conversed this issue. We know what it means. So the banks are writing off and they are not following up. And then they say, therefore, we are no longer interested because this thing, this person is virtually close to a limited insolvency. I won't get anything. I'm using the word limited insolvency deliberately because if you're insolvent, it means that you are no longer economically active. But limited insolvency, you may find that they can still come to you and you pay a lesser amount. The other issue, it was said that we are denying the credit provider. Let me paint a picture. When the applicant, intervention applicant approaches, say, NCR. When they approach the NCR, there is an argument that everything should be suspended. Payment should no longer be effected. All those issues. There was this argument of saying, it seems as if we are acting in an arbitrary manner, in so much that therefore the other side is not heard. That is the credit provider. And then we are saying, no, it is not true that we are suspending the issue, the expression, ad altrem principle. We are not doing that. When there is an application, what happens is that the NCR will process everything and then later will call the credit provider on a certain date to say, come, there is this application. What is your view? They may also try to mediate or whatever. So therefore, the issue of saying we are suspending the right to be heard is not true. There is, as some people joke legally, that the right to be heard was never denied to the snake in the Garden of Eden. Even the snake was invited to come and converse its story, and then even here, they will be called at an appropriate time to come and argue their case. So it is not true that we are going to suspend to the issue of Audi Altrem principle. So even in courts of law, there are processes. Last week, we were talking about Rule Nisi, and then we talk about protection orders when they are granted. You find that it's only one person approaching the presiding officer, but at a later date, that the other one will have to come to prove, to say, don't reduce that into finality or permanency, and then the process continues. So therefore, that's where we are here. In the area of reporting suspected reckless lending to NCR by the in other words, the credit providers are reporting each other. Here we're just cautioning to say credit providers may not have sufficient information to assess whether the other is now boggled down to the issue of, say, reckless lending and the like. So there is also competition. Because of competition, there may be jealousies and the like. So because of that, we are saying maybe we should be cautious, not proceed with this clause. That is just a caution that we are saying. However, we support the criminalization of debt counselors that fail to report alleged reckless loans to courts. Debt counselors, they invite you, you apply, you are put on debt review, they know everything about you. They do everything, and then we are saying they are in a position of seeing that this person is now, there is a reckless lending that is involved here. It's very easy. It's like an auditor who is doing his or her work and then sees that there is money laundering, there is something that is reportable, we call it reportable irregularities, and then they don't do that. Therefore, it is the auditor will have to be punished appropriately by, say, independent regulatory board of auditors, and that CIPC was supposed to have known something, the National Prosecuting Authority should have known something, but and SARS maybe. So therefore, the debt counselors we support, if it is not there in the bill, we are saying it should be a criminal offense for a debt counselor who has seen all the ill things there and not report the matter to the courts. So criminalization is supported. And then the issue of directors and owners of the credit providers to be liable for the actions of the responsible juristic person. In context, we are saying there are prohibited conducts. When we come to prohibited conducts, we submit that it should be a criminal offense. Yesterday, the Department of Justice somewhere they cautioned as follows, to say you should impose a penalty that suits the crime. You should impose the penalty that suits the crime, like imprisonment. So we are saying these commercial crimes, it's time for us to treat them as heinous as they are supposed to be. They must be heinous. Not only a common law offense like hitting somebody, common assault, GBH, grievous bodily harm. We are saying commercial crimes should also be treated equally, and therefore the punishment should not necessarily be, say, 12 months. If 5 years, let it be. That's our contribution. And then we propose that the drafting be aligned to cartels provisions in the Competition Act. As an example, Justice agrees with this issue, as we agree with them, to say we should benchmark with other legislation. The legislation like trafficking in human beings and the like, they gave us an example. So we are in agreement, but we may be differing on the punishment, on the penalty to be imposed. NCR powers to suspend reckless loans. We support the provision, but foresee the following effects. As an example, if NCR suspends payment, a debt payment, and then it takes 2 years because the matter is being argued in court, or 3 years, and then you may find that the courts find in favor of the credit provider to say it was not a reckless loan, reckless lending. And therefore, the accumulation of that debt may be a problem for the consumer to pay. So we are saying maybe it will be better not to follow suit on this area. We are just cautioning. But we understand the philosophy of the legislature, because some in certain areas you may find that always the cases that are brought before court, the reckless lending is proven, and then the money is already paid, and then we have already put the consumer under distress. So usage of assets whilst not making any payments during suspension, cars, houses, furniture, that's what we're talking about, to say there may be a problem because these items, they depreciate, in particular a car or furniture, they depreciate as time goes on. So suspension should be made subject to certain conditions, such as the return of assets during the suspension period. We are just advising in this area. Compulsory credit life insurance. There was an argument of saying it will raise costs, more so that the credit provider is not responsible for these insurances. And then we are saying we support the issue of compulsory credit life insurance, but recommend a consultative process in terms of Section 106 of the National Credit Act. Like interdepartmentally, we also consult with the National Treasury, we consult with the FSB, and therefore, because of that consultation process, which may be made compulsory, if the two departments are not cooperating, we do cooperate. We have credit life insurance regulations that were issued by the minister not long time ago. We cooperated, and therefore we are saying because of this consultation, we say compulsory or mandatory credit life insurance should be imposed. So there is also the issue of capacity of NCR and NCT that was raised during the implementation of debt intervention. We agree. I think there was no argument. There may be a need in future for the NCR, after being empowered or enabled, and then to come with a implementation plan and the like, then the regulations. I didn't, sorry, Chair, I didn't stop along the way. I was looking at my colleague, the chairperson, to take certain issues, but I didn't see him. So therefore, that's why I'm moving. So I'm reaching conclusion, but before I give it back to the chairperson, I will request that my colleagues may have to add here and there on the issues that I was advancing. So in conclusion, is that we support the spirit of the bill as expounded by the political head of the Department of Trade and Industry. I was reading the newspapers. In the newspapers, some of the readings, it seems as if as departments we are differing. And then I'm saying my department, my political head, support the bill, and then we are supporting the bill. The Department of Justice also has already passed in its area of competency, so we support. So therefore, as technicians, we cannot differ with our principals. And then the issue of constitutionality, we have already advised Parliament the route to follow. The task team of the DTI and its agencies, that the NCR and the NCT, we have already suggested it. We submitted the names to work closely with the parliamentary drafter, legislative drafter of the parliament, and then deal with all the issues of drafting. So from my side, that's all. I request that my colleagues may add. Thanks.
Yes, that's the National Credit Regulator, or of course the National Consumer Tribunal.
Good afternoon, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. I think as the Acting DDG indicated, we looked at the overview of the presentations of the submissions from different entities. We may not have taken every point that was raised in the various presentations, but we identified, you know, a common thread, you know, across most or all of the presentations. And as he also indicated, there's a grid that we have developed with the details that come from the submissions, and that will be discussed together with the legislative drafter. So that's all I have to say for now. We will assist in fielding some of the questions that will come from the honourable members. Thank you.
Right, and we're going to have the National Consumer Tribunal.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, and to your members. We support the presentation which was made by the Acting TDG because we've contributed to that, and we are ready to answer any questions that the members may have with regard to this. Thank you.
The three of you then, led by DTI. So we now look to the members here. Honourable McPherson, you had your hand up first, followed by Honourable Williams, Honourable Pichalia, Honourable Languini, Honourable Mantash.
Thank you very much. DDG, I'm going to be quite blunt with you because I've been in this committee for 4 years. I've listened to many presentations, but for me personally, that is the worst presentation I've ever listened to or seen on paper. I think for a bill that is so important, for what you have tabled here is wholly insufficient from the department. It shows me that the department has not taken this bill seriously. It has not sought the information and legal advice that it should have. You've used phrases like legal opinions are just legal opinions, and we should leave it up to the courts. That is not the way to formulate legislation. The way to formulate legislation is to deal with, and you have bluntly said in your presentation, that technicians should not contradict principles. We should be dealing with technical people when it comes to a bill so technical and so important to the credit market such as this. It is that very stance, DDG, that has led to so much legislation being overturned by the courts and being referred back to Parliament because you do not want to actually say to your principals, I think you should do X and Y, it is in the best interests of this legislation. I find your comment in conclusion that the constitutionality of the bill should not frustrate Parliament. Parliament should always be looking to uphold and defend the Constitution. If there is anything that we have learnt as Parliament, is that we don't do that sufficiently. So for you to say that the Constitution or lack of constitutionality of a bill should not frustrate this process, I find it incredible. In fact, it actually makes me furious that such a comment could be made. Now, you have not looked at the costs of what this bill is to the credit market. You have not looked at the what it will do to the credit market in terms of either restricting or opening up credit. I think that that's a fundamental issue in this bill that should be looked at. You say that the accumulation of capital and costs... Sorry, what? Which point is that? Yeah, the credit market, the costs, and whether it will either restrict or open credit for poor people is a vital point to this bill. And you ignore that. On the issue of on the accumulation of capital and cost of credit during suspension, I'm not sure why you would think that that would be a problem, because the whole point is that if the loan is suspended because it is suspected to be reckless, all costs are held in abeyance until such time as it has been held over. That point in itself proves to me that you have not fully understood the bill. I mean, the grammar in this presentation is incredibly poor. And DDG, I think that much like what we saw in the Copyright Amendment Bill that this committee rejected because it was so poorly drafted under your stewardship, once again we are seeing that here today. And I'm sorry to be so personal, but I have to be, because this falls under your watch. And that you come and present this, and these are your substantive points, is, I wouldn't have come to this committee and done that. I have more respect for myself and for my job, and so I wouldn't have done that. So I want to know clearly why you think the department, which will be charged to oversee this act when it is passed, does not believe it is important to get legal opinion. I find that incredible. I find it astounding, to be honest. And I'm going to have to take this up with the Minister, Chair. You know, I took the copyright bill up, and I'm going to take this one up again. Because clearly, the oversight of when it comes to presentations like this is just not there from the department. And I think that there's a lot of explaining that needs to be done.
Honourable MacPherson, of course, this is our bill, but you're talking about the oversight from DTI's commentary, right? Honourable Williams.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I've been in this committee for 3.5 years, and I'd just like to say that I agree with the Honourable MacPherson about this. I think that the presentation doesn't actually help us at all. In particular, the constitutionality, I think that we should get an actual legal opinion and not just the opinion of the DTI when it comes to this, because the from the public hearings, the question around the constitutionality of this bill were quite technical in character, and I want a legal opinion from a lawyer who says that, you know, this was what was raised and these are the arguments that we could use to get this bill going through, not just, well, you know, the banks write off money already and therefore our bill must be constitutional. Secondly, yesterday we got an input from the National Treasury through 8020, and they were talking about 10 million people who could qualify for debt relief at a maximum and a minimum of 1.5 million people. And I'd like for the DTI and for the National Credit Regulator and the NCT to tell us if it's 1.5 million people that we actually eventually get down to and they qualify. That would work out at 6,250 applications per working day per annum. Now, you know, and if it's 10 million people, it's 41,666 applications per day. So I'd like to know where this capacity is coming from. And when they say resources will be enhanced to enable efficient implementation of debt intervention, I'd like to know exactly what they mean by enhanced, because at this rate, if we're going to go through 6,250 applications per day for a year, we're going to have to, it might be cheaper for government just to relieve the debt themselves without, you know what I'm saying, it's going to cost us so much money. So, but again, I'd just like to reiterate what the Honourable Macpherson says. I don't think that this presentation is helping us, and as the chairperson of the subcommittee, I don't think it's helping us at all, and I would request that DTI go back and come back to this committee with a better, more comprehensive answer to the public hearings that we've received. Thank you, Chair.
Williams, we do have from now Honourable Charlier came next, followed by Honourable Planguini, Honourable Barr, followed by Honourable Mantosh.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I normally tend to be quite circumspect in my categorization and comments, but on this occasion I move to agree with my colleagues here in that I find this particular presentation to be particularly thin, and that's choosing my words very carefully. I could say many other things. In the first instance, there's no I don't see in the document here any input from the NDCA, and regardless of you not recording their input, which they gave last week, you refer to them in that you wish to sanction them for failure to report reckless lending. In your reporting and you make mention of the principle of hardy alter impartum, I think this is a significant failure. But that's a small point. On the issue of constitutionality, Madam Chair herself last week had said, I think in our first meeting, that she was seriously considering, and I hope that she has moved ahead to engage the services of senior counsel to advise us on the constitutionality of this particular thing. Your comment flies in the face of that and frankly makes no sense to me. On the issue of technicians not contradicting principles, technicians are there to inform principals with technical knowledge. And if the facts and figures contradict what the principals may or may have in their minds, then it is valuable input, and we need to be sensible about this. There is nothing in this document of yours here which addresses any of the unintended consequences that may arise out of this bill. That is what we should be applying ourselves for, and you in the DTI should be leading that particular line of inquiry. I've been on this committee for a very short time, but in the last week particularly, I was privileged to hear a number of particularly good presentations from 8020, from Treasury, pregnant with facts and figures, pregnant with arguments for, against, in between, pregnant with question marks and the like. You've addressed none of these. This has been utterly unhelpful. I trust that we will take the Honourable Williams' suggestion and get a more cogent report as soon as possible.
Thank you, Honourable Kachalia. Honourable Slanguini.
Thanks, Chair. I would have hoped, Chair, that on a Wednesday afternoon, 2 o'clock, and so much is happening in the country, I would have hope for a much better presentation and stuff. I missed all of, even President Jacob Zuma waffling on SABC or whatsoever, you know? So I would have rather watched than such a presentation. In all honesty, Chair, like, I want to support my colleagues And it's no means a disrespect to the person that have presented the presentation. That they go back and rework this presentation. The other presentations speak point by point, and they even put clauses. So I think that is what the department should go back and do as a way forward and come back to us with a more concrete and better proposal. But for now, as we are standing, Chair, in this presentation, it's very much, I agree with my colleagues, it's poorly written, grammar and all of that. I think they should go back and rework the whole presentation, and we should propose another date for them to come back and present to us. And I think, Chair, as a way forward for the committee as well, to also make the minister aware of this, of this lack of maybe interest or lack of you know, willingness to assist the committee or something like that. I don't know what it may be, or confidence in proposal writing or something like that. I don't know. Maybe we must just make the minister aware of this and stuff like that, because we must do it as a collective, as a committee. I don't feel the need we should address it as a political party, because we have done this as a collective. So let's write the minister a letter and make him aware of this. Thanks, Chair.
Flanguini, Honourable Mantosh.
Thank you, Chairperson. I agree with my colleagues. This is a bit lean representation. I must also say that I am uncomfortable with Honourable Kachalia referring to a document as supposing to have been pregnant. Documents don't get pregnant, it's women who get pregnant. As for me, that's insensitive. That's insensitive. But Chairperson, really, we were expecting a blow-by-blow presentation by the department based on all the presentations that have been given to us by different entities or different stakeholders who came to the party when we called them. We really want to inform the department that we must go back and do a better job than what we see in front of us. We're not happy at all. We are serious about what we're doing. We're not joking. And Chairperson, I don't want to speak much of what has been said already, but we're really not happy about it. We expected something better. Let me pause there, Chairperson.
DDG, we've heard the comments of the committee members, which can be summed up in one word: disappointment at what they've been presented with, which certainly creates the impression in me that there was a lack of interest or insight to what may have occurred during the many public hearings and submissions. I want, before I continue, to just remind the committee there was this other document, as you know, which I know you've seen, which may have attempted a blow-by-blow, if I may put it that way. I'm sure some of you have seen it there on each presentation. But I think the issue really is that there were issues of constitutionality raised by many, many who made submissions, and there were some cogent reasons put forward for them and others that one could argue with or debate on and so on. But I think the view is substantiated in that when something is considered unconstitutional by those making a presentation, let's say by more than three people, then you may not agree with them, with it, but you would certainly hope that the department, the National Credit Regulator, and the National Consumer Tribunal would then look at it, as it were, and say, all right, I don't agree with it, but why not? What is their argument? And try and unpack the argument, per se. You did make an attempt to do that, of course, but it was at best superficial, and it is a very serious point that we do need to address. On the positive note, you did preface the presentation by indicating that you didn't in principle differ from the other departments who'd made submissions on this and that, that in fact, for the most part, you saw this as a shared view. Yes, I think we can accept that, as it were. But, and on the criminalization, you support, criminalization, death counselors, failure to report this and that. One would have hoped you would have said a little bit more on that matter, because it is a serious point that was brought up by many. And the whole issue of reckless lending, etc., we could have had a lot more said there. And that's related to the NCR and reporting suspected reckless lending. The two, to some extent, have a relationship. The other side is certainly, well, one would agree with you colloquially to say that, yes, it is. I've said this myself in a committee, that, you know, the banks are telling us they're making provision for this, that, and the next thing, but we would prefer to see this all legislated, as it were, and we support the bill on that basis. I think the critical issue, which you didn't make sufficient substance of, was that writing off is not extinguishing. It is not the same thing. And that has been the crux of a lot of the arguments put forward here. And we need to really, from the DTI side, where you have, or reputed to have, this reservoir of technical expertise. We don't have it as members of Parliament. We rely on ourselves, technical experts. But that wasn't, you didn't deal with that sufficiently. And we really need to get that. The other aspect to it, as well, perhaps I may say this and one or two colleagues, that, this is not the same as expropriating land, and you can't consider this property, etc. The reality remains that there is legal argument on the books, as it were. But of course, that legal argument, what we would have liked to have seen from the department, is to come here and say, this is what has been said. One, don't agree with it because. Two, three, four, five. So it's quite clear that this is there. And I think your colleagues from, and when I say colleagues, I know that as the department, you are there as the number one, if you want to put it that way, and the entities fall under DTI, if I may put it that way. So they look to you, as the DDG, for guidance. And it does seem to me like the ship went adrift. You see, it could be very close to the rocks at this stage. So I think some of the criticism was very candid, some done in measured language, some without any of the, sort of qualified courtesies, etc., but they all said one thing in the end. You know, to look at this, and knowing you from where you came, I know you've, in the past 5 years ago, you produced much better work. This is an insult to a committee. It really is. And I would hope we never get such a presentation from DTI again. Yes, Honourable Williams.
sorry, Chair. Chair, you made reference to this document that we were given. Basically, it's exactly the same as the presentation and also not good enough. Yeah, and I don't think that we should just hold DTI responsible, because these submissions were coming from NCR and the NCT. So they're also part of this. So please, can you all of you, you know, help us properly? Thank you.
Williams, Honourable Pachali.
Chair, with reference to this document, which is supposed to substantiate or amplify the presentation, let me just refer you to point four in reply to what Professor Kelly Lowe said. The response from the DTI, and I just read by way of example, says to the objectives of the bill, Kelly says the objectives of the bill of the NCA should not be amended as proposed by the debt intervention bill. The reply is the following. Credit providers will not sufficient information to make assessment. Competition amongst credit providers. However, we support criminalized debt counselors' failure to report alleged reckless loans. Criminalization of prohibited conduct is supported. Now, this is just drivel. I'm escalating my measured words. If you look at other documents, the Department of Justice is summarized there, but there's no input. It's blank. The Standard Bank's input is summarized to some extent. No input. National Treasury, no input. And so on. It's just appalling.
You know, to actually put this document on the table is almost as bad as your presentation, because I cannot believe that major banks, would sort of, that their, presentation can be summarized in, maybe 25 lines. It's not possible. I mean, I would think that those presentations would be hugely technical in themselves. Cassatu's, your summary of Cassatu's submission is that they support the bill. I mean, that's hardly profound, is it? And you go to BASA, Banking Association of South Africa, well, there's nothing. You've just got their name and you don't even have any submission that they've made from there. I really... I'm not happy with this. This only further proves the Honourable Mantashe's point that we are not joking, and I think that sometimes you think we are joking when it comes to stuff like this, because this is for high school children. This is not for members of Parliament. For high school kids.
But this is
for high school children. Well, I agree. Maybe this is not even worth it for high school children. Maybe this is like goes to nursery school. And so I'm not going to accept this. I think that actually for something that is important as this bill, for something that is so fundamental to our economy, like the credit market, we should be given these presentations or these submissions to the DTI, if they haven't been made in a parliamentary setting. And then you must respond comprehensively, not just pick and choose the ones that you like or the ones that you don't like. Respond to everyone and tell us why.
Honourable Slanguini.
Thanks, Chair. I thought there was a proposal on the table, Chair, in DTI coming back and stuff. So I don't think that we should now engage on everything, because they are going to rework it and come back. So I think for a way forward, I think we should send them back and then write to the minister as well and let them come back and redo the presentation. I think that is a proper way forward, Chair.
Yes, it is a proposal, and I think all members share that. Did you want to say something, Honourable Mantashe?
No, I support what Honourable Minister interposed. It's no use howling and beating a dead horse. Doesn't help.
That is over. So,
For the record, then, proposal has been made and seconded. The committee was unanimous. I take it you share the view of the committee members present. Honourable Buyani.
Thanks very much, Chair. I would like to propose that maybe we can engage in terms of the date and also add that at least the subcommittee must have been seen the document before the document is coming to the committee.
Because it's a waste of actually fruitless expenditure of Parliament's time and resources, I am going to be harsh, regrettably, because I do have a cooperative nature. But unfortunately, the work is appalling that we've been given. And let me leave it at that. I don't know if we should even retain it. We are required to retain it as it's been tabled. But it's something that should never be repeated. And what we would like is not a rework. I think that's the wrong approach. We don't want it reworked. I think a fresh start on this. Look at this. This is our bill, a committee bill. We genuinely want to hear from the DTI, the National Credit Regulator, and the National Consumer Tribunal, what is your considered opinion, an informed opinion on X, and for what reason? For what reason? That's what I want to know. Where it requires legal constitutional expertise, get it. Get that. And say, look, we do not regard this as unconstitutional because of X, Y, Z, however, and then let's get it. And then on that basis, because I know you do support the spirit of this, it's not sufficient for us to know that someone supports the spirit, unfortunately. Because if this had gone to a court, they would have actually said, you have not applied your minds. That's a very serious allegation. So I must rule on this that a letter will be sent to the minister informing him of our conclusions on this presentation and also requesting the department, the National Credit Regulator and the National Consumer Tribunal to return with a presentation that can add value substantively to what we are doing. And I'm a bit cautious now about the time required. On the one hand, we can't afford this kind of delay. On the other hand, if at the next presentation, and it's a Tuesday, we get the same rubbish, then it's a problem. So I need, I think, DDG to give you a minute just to consult your colleagues. And then you tell me what you think the time you need to give us a document that we believe adds value. Now allow them to have their minute. Alting. No, they are. Don't switch my. DDG?
No, thanks. I consulted with my colleagues. We can respond, say, Tuesday. However, on the issue of the legal opinion, that has to go outside. It cannot be on Tuesday because it takes time there. It has to go to the state law advisors from our side, and then it may need a week or two, so but ourselves, we can repeat and argue our case from our side. Tuesday would be appropriate with a rider of saying the legal opinions is outsourced.
Well, look, I'm already going to correct you there and stop you in your tracks. let me just complete this, because I look at the program here, and I see there are public hearings on the National Credit Amendment Bill, and there's a submission from NEDLAC as well, you see, coming in on the 20th. So it may be preferable, and it'll allow you to do some of this other legwork, that we do it on the 21st. Unfortunately, I can't guarantee that Tuesday we'll have the afternoon, you see. So I think that you can aim for Tuesday, but I'm going to suggest that the minister has sight of this, or the DG, before it comes near this committee or any subcommittee. I want the minister to check what that piece of work. Yes, Honourable Mantashe.
Chair, we would like to propose that before the presentation that they will make to the committee, the subcommittee first puts eyes on it. So we're sitting as a subcommittee on the 2nd.
I think that takes us forward, not to us, but to the subcommittee. Honourable MacPherson, is this still on the timing issues, etc.? All right, can I finish this issue first then? So then we'll say to the subcommittee, when are you sitting though? No, on the, you said on the next Tuesday, but next Tuesday was a committee meeting. Yes.
Chairperson, the subcommittee is sitting on the 2nd. 2nd of March. Sitting before then.
On Wednesday it would be. No, that's copyright. Oh, right. But you can. No, you're quite right. You can. You can. You're different people. So let's have you sitting on the 21st as a subcommittee, purely to have a look at this presentation that will be put forward. Okay? Can we? And then you can, from there, move forward. Am I right? And you will be able to liaise directly about timing. And then, as I said, I just want to complete the point that a letter will go to the minister in this regard, telling him where we, how we intend taking it forward. Yes, Honourable MacPherson. So we've closed the issue on timing for the moment.
Is the DDG going to respond? Well, I tell you. Is he going to respond to our concerns that we've put together? And if he's not, here's the problem that I have. Well, one, I think that he should apologise to the committee for presenting this. And I can see other people shaking their heads, and I don't know why. The second thing is, I actually would like him to explain why he thought this was sufficient for this committee. I mean, you can't come here, present something, fly down here at cost, and not actually explain or apologize for dragging us to this meeting, presenting this, and then us, you know, saying that it's insufficient, and then you just come back the next day and present again. I'm not comfortable with it.
Well, look, I'm going to ask you, even if you're not comfortable, to accept that I don't want to introduce disciplinary proceedings. And I think sufficient has been said. Our criticism, to go in writing this criticism, let me tell you how serious that is to any member of a department. That is sufficiently serious. I'm not asking for anyone's apology. I am saying that I want the work properly done. Not reworked, as I said, this is not worth working on, but take it from there. And then I think, Honourable Williams, you know that when the subcommittee is happening, liaise with the technical team here, the staff, and with the DTI, NCR, and that. Am I correct? So we don't want to go on and on about this. It's over. Thank you. Honourable Williams?
Chairperson, the subcommittee will sit at 9 o'clock on Wednesday the 21st. And the secretary of the committee will find us a venue that he'll give us notice about. Thank you.
All right. Does everyone hear that? Then from there, It may be you want to send it back, although that's not, you know, it would have to be for a serious reason, and I imagine once we've engaged with the minister, that will be sufficient to get us a good copy. So the way, let me put it this way for the record, because these things are on record. I knew that it wasn't from a lack of interest that this was what was produced to us, because you have been very dedicated and committed in coming to the meetings. So I knew it couldn't have been from that. But whatever informed this work, the attitude needs to be changed. And I would appeal to all members who participated in this, in producing this, not to point fingers at each other, but rather to work together and to bring something solid and substantive. Each one of you, I know your work. I know what you're capable of. So let's not theorize now and go in for apologies, discipline, and all of that. I don't need a response to that comment, but I do want to say I looked at this. We finished a lot earlier than we expected. I cancelled that mini tea break. So when I adjourn the meeting, we will be adjourned until tomorrow, and that's the technical task team. We won't be meeting as a committee, right? And we won't be meeting tomorrow. Then our next meeting would be the 20th, all right, Tuesday. Technical task team to present them with what where we are, public hearings, etc. Now, may I add one thing? This program has been put together on the basis of current information. I can't assume other information, all right? So I hope when you see a change on, Friday or whatever, that nothing is said. We just accept the change and move on with life, all right? And I want to thank you, and I apologize as chairperson for keeping you here unnecessarily. Meeting adjourned.